Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
And we're back. First podcast of the new year. Hey, how was your break there, Matt?
Mine was quite good. How about yourself?
It was good. A lot of time with family, playing some board games, not really thinking much about baseball, but now we're in the doldrums of January, and I am just ready for spring training to start.
Yeah, just pretty much not a whole lot's been happening the last 2-3 weeks with the holidays and going into the first week of the new year, but hopefully the log jam will break up pretty soon and we'll have some things start to happen.
Yep. As such, this is probably going to be a short one. I know we say that sometimes and they turn out to be long, but I really do think this one will be a short one. Start off with, there is one Brave still playing some baseball, and he's doing really well. And Matt, how is Mr. Philip Pfeiffer doing in the Australian Baseball League?
Pfeiffer's still doing really well for himself. Now, he just had a start on Friday. It was his first start in 2 weeks because of the Australian wildfires. They had their previous series canceled due to air quality, so he went a couple weeks without getting any kind of action. But he went out on Friday, pitched 7 innings, gave up 7 hits, 4 runs, 4 walks, struck out 8 with giving up a home run, and brings his overall stats on his time to Australia in 7 starts. He's pitched 41 and a third innings, fanned 49. He's got a 2.18 ERA, a 1.26 whip. I figure he's got to be getting close to the end of his tenure there, because when you add up all the innings he's thrown to Australia now with what he did during the regular season in the States, he's up to 175 innings now. So I imagine at some point they'll want to give him at least a little bit of a break before spring training starts.
Yeah, I mean, he's been amazing. It'll be fascinating to see how he is used in the in spring training. I've always assumed that they'll be looking at him as a reliever, but I'm wondering now if they'll just keep starting him. I mean, he did such a good job with that last year. He's done such a good job with it in Australia. I don't know. We'll have to see. But he's an intriguing story and probably an interesting dark horse candidate for the Braves this spring.
One interesting wrinkle I found doing some research, I was looking up the park dimensions for Canberra's park. And down the lines, it's pretty similar to what you're seeing in the States. Translates out to roughly 330 feet down the lines. But you look at their center field dimensions, it's only 393 feet to dead center field. And he's only given up 3 home runs in 41 and a third inning. So with those kind of dimensions and those kind of home run numbers, evidence of the nice work he's doing down there.
Wow, that's a little league park. Is that about the same size as Great American Ballpark?
Maybe. And it probably feels like with left-handers trying to hit in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Braves did make a few minor league signings over the last couple weeks. Probably the one that Braves fans are most familiar with will be a shortstop that holds a place dear in the hearts of everybody at Outfield Fly Rule. Pete Cosma has signed a minor league deal with the Braves. He, of course, was the starting shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals back in 2012 in the infamous Outfield Fly Rule game. He is the one who lost the ball and had the ball fall behind him in short left field. And, of course, that ball was called out due to the invocation of the infield fly rule. And we're not bitter about it at all now. I think we've adjusted well. I mean, my God, that was 8 years ago, right? So we're over that. We welcome Pete Cosma to the organization. Matt, how do you think he fits here? I have some thoughts on this, but I want to get yours first.
Well, I think he's going to be kind of filling in a veteran backup role on the Gwinnett roster, kind of filling in the roles that either Andres Blanco or Pedro Florimon did last season. You got a veteran guy in their 30s, play a number of positions, and kind of a veteran influence on the club.
Yeah. And I think, and he is a legitimate good defensive shortstop, you know, the outfield fly rule aside, he is a legitimate shortstop. I think the Braves were really caught flat-footed last year when Swanson went down. It turned out that neither Culberson nor Camargo could really play the position the way it needed to be played. And there wasn't a veteran at Gwinnett that they felt comfortable with. Pedro Florimond, who, you know, historically had been a good defensive shortstop, really had bulked up, I guess, for offensive purposes, and has really sized himself out of the position. And then Andres Blanco has never really been much of a defensive shortstop. So I think this solves for that, that if something similar happens to that way again, that there will be a veteran shortstop that can actually play the position to a high caliber that they can call up.
Yeah, there's not, I mean, he can't hit worth a lick, but he's obviously a better defender than anybody else currently on the roster. And like I said, he's kind of a backup emergency plan in case something doesn't go wrong. But although I could see them signing Adeni Echevarria back again, but hey, if they don't, they at least have some kind of reserve now.
Yeah, I fully expect them to add another infielder for the bench at the major league level. I don't think you go in with Pete Cosmez, you know, as your plan for the bench, and I don't think they can really count on Camargo or Culberson again, as we said, as a legitimate shortstop.
I was going to say, he spent 2019 for the Tigers AAA club. It had a 92 WRC plus even in this increased offensive environment.
And so another guy that we signed is a very interesting left-handed pitcher, Chris Nunn. Chris Nunn probably has a little bit more name recognition than a lot of people, guys that haven't made it to the majors. He had some features written about him. I think CBS did a feature on him because he has really embraced the use of social media. I think he used the Flat Ground app to get attention on him in December, showing him he's a lefty that hits that can throw into the high 90s. This is a minor league contract. If he can find himself, if he has really improved his stuff this way, no risk look for the Braves is pretty exciting, actually.
Yeah, like you said, he's got the videos and everything's been showing off. But another interesting wrinkle I saw is that Ben Sestanovich, the new Braves assistant general manager, was a part of the Padres organization when Nunn was part of the organization. Nunn was there from 2012 to 2015. And Sestanovich was an advanced scout during that time. Also, although he didn't work directly with Nunn, he at least has familiarity with him and probably was a voice in the room when they decided to make that signing.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then the last guy they signed is apparently a right-handed pitcher named Ellison Joseph. I'll be honest with you, I have no idea who this is. I've never heard of him, and there's almost no information on him on the internet. And the only thing I know about him is that he appeared in a list of signings on Baseball America. Matt, you have any better luck than me?
Absolutely not. I mean, I've searched all the different Fangraphs, Baseball Reference. There's absolutely no evidence of him whatsoever. And if this had been a previous Atlanta Braves regime, I would have thought he might be possibly some sort of phantom ball player that was involved in some shenanigans.
Dion Toscano, number two there. Yeah, I assume this is someone that maybe had some independent league looks or something like that. But even then, I haven't been able to dig anything up. So hopefully we'll find out more about Ellison Joseph. I even tried different spellings on his name and thought maybe it was turned around. Maybe it was Joseph Ellison was his name, but nope, nothing.
I tried the same thing. I tried to throw an extra L in his name.
Yeah. Well, folks, that's it. That's the whole news. That's it.
Lean time.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and do like we did last couple episodes. We have gone over the Gwinnett Stripers and the Mississippi Braves, trying to kind of guess on what the opening day roster is going to be for those teams. Obviously, Pete Cosma shakes things up a little bit for Gwinnett. I assume he will be the starting shortstop for Gwinnett at the beginning of the year. So I don't know. I think it probably moves Riley Unruh probably to second base and Jack Lopez to the bench. What do you think?
I think so, too. It's going to be a lot of interchangeable stuff going on.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about the Florida Fire Frogs then. Hey. try to guess what their opening day roster is going to be, wherever they end up playing. Yes, the ballpark situation there is still unknown. In fact, interestingly enough, the Florida Fire Frogs Twitter account tweeted out this week just a little fun thing where they had opening folders, you know, Florida State League, Florida Fire Frogs, stadium location, and then this folder empty. So the social media account is obviously frustrated as well. I've had a few bit of conversations over social media with some people that work down there, and literally they all are extremely frustrated and they don't know anything more themselves either. So I can't imagine, you know, being this far and knowing that your job starts back up in just a few months and not knowing where you're going to work.
I believe their first home game is scheduled for April 13th. I looked on the website this morning and it had the dreaded TBD out next to it as far as location.
Yeah, maybe they'll just be a vagabond team just going where in stadiums where nobody is playing at that moment.
There's abandoned shopping malls out there. Got some old Toys R Us that you could use.
Maybe there's an old Circuit City or two. Those places were pretty big. All right, so let's talk about the Florida roster. This was pretty difficult for me. It'll be interesting to see what you came up with, Matt, because this was a lot tougher than the Gwinnett and Mississippi roster. You want to go ahead and start first with first base?
First base, that's one of the fairly easy ones, I think, is that Griffin Benson will be the first baseman for Florida this year. He had a very solid season for Rome last year and was there for the entire season, and I think he'll plug in there pretty easily for the Fire Frogs.
Yeah, I think that might happen, but you know, I'm actually going to disagree with you on it, though that's certainly a possibility. I think they're going to go ahead and push Bryce Ball up to Florida and leave Benson in Rome. Just seeing the two play, and they actually were teammates briefly. Ball is more advanced than Benson at this point, even though he's just joined the organization. They're actually right around the same age. Benson, you know, certainly had a solid year last year. It wouldn't shock me if he's moved up, but he still has a lot of swing and miss problems. I think they may elect to leave him in Rome to keep working with Bobby Moore down there and go ahead and move Bryce Ball up, but I could see it going the other way too.
I'd considered that, but when you start seeing the changes they're making to the minor league staffs as far as maybe they pushed some players a little too quickly last year, that's what maybe decide against pushing Ball up like that. But, I mean, it could very well happen. I mean, as advanced as his hitting tool is at this rate.
All right, for second base, I've got Greg Cullen. He is he was one of the top hitters in Rome last year, an advanced hitter and a college guy. He should have very little problems moving up, and I suspect doing pretty well at Florida. I was very impressed with Greg Cullen last year.
Yeah, I got the same vibe. I picked Cullen for my second baseman as well. I mean, he had as far as the offense at Rome's concerned, I mean, he had almost an 800 OPS, did very well in his fielding. He was there for the entire season. I mean, he was winning awards, weekly and monthly awards all throughout the season. So I think that was this may have been the easiest call of all.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to let you decide. Do you want to do shortstop or third base?
I'm going to go with shortstop. I think the pick there is going to be, depending on his status, because he barely played last season, was A.J. Graffinino. He basically got almost no time last season due to an injury, and hopefully he has recovered from that injury by now. And if so, I imagine he'll just pick up right where he left off last season and start off there. I mean, he only got one plate appearance for the Fire Frogs last season before getting hurt. And if he is healthy, then there's no reason not to send him right back to that spot as the starting shortstop.
Yeah, I agree. And toward the end of last year, it looked like he was about to start a rehab stint with the GCL Braves, but it was cut short because of the Hurricanes when they basically truncated the season by a full week. So it looked like he was about to at least get back on the field. So there's nothing I've heard that said that he wouldn't be ready. So yeah, I agree. It's probably going to be Graffinino, hopefully resetting himself for 2020. All right, that leaves third base. Honestly, I have no idea who's going to play third base for the Florida Fire Frogs. Third base is a really weak position right now overall. So I'm going to punt and say it'll be Kevin Josefina again. He played third base partially last year, but he also, of course, played first and second as well. There's a lot of folks that could be the third baseman, including returning infielders Jordan Rogers and Brett Langhorn. Could be someone like Brendan Venter coming up from Rome, or it could be, I guess, Braulio Vasquez also coming up from Rome. But, you know, flip a coin, I think it could be any of those guys. But if you hold a gun to my head, I'd guess Josefina, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah, the two names I had written down were Josefina and Brendan Venter. Venter played kind of split some time between first and third base at Rome last season. I would think, if anything, they might just go the minor league free agent route just to get a placeholder for third base, because, I mean, none of these are particularly appealing options. I mean, even if none of them are particularly good hitters, or at least they didn't have great stats last year, and the defense wasn't really great on any of them either, so I wouldn't be surprised to have them pick up somebody that's been released by another organization and plug them in at third base for Florida this season.
Yeah, and I'll throw out a big wild card. I think the likelihood of this is really, really low. But another possibility for third base actually could be Drew Lugbauer. If they just plugged him at third base and left him there, I actually think he could be a solid defensive third baseman. That was his primary position in college. I don't think they would do that at the AA level, and we'd previously talked about him moving up to Mississippi and probably DH and splitting first base with Braxton Davidson. But, you know, I guess it is a possibility they could leave him Florida and have him play third base. But, you know, I don't think it's likely.
Yeah, I don't think it's likely either. But if they did, it might be something along the lines of kind of the opposite of what they did with somebody like an Alex Jackson, where they say concentrate on your fielding and don't worry about your offense. They may tell Lugbauer, hey, just carry a glove on the field, do the best you can, but just concentrate on the hitting.
All right. As far as backup infielders and DHs, one guy I have is Hagan Owenby. He's a good hitter. He's been in the organization for a few years now. He can back up at catcher, plays a solid first base as well, and he deserves a shot at Florida.
Yeah, I had that name down. I also got a couple. I mean, it's just a couple other possibilities. Ariel Montesino and Braulio Vasquez from Rome, but strictly as backup options. I mean, neither one of them did particularly great on offense, but they can play a number of infield positions. So there are always possibilities there as well.
Right. And same thing for carryovers like Jordan Rogers and Brett Langhorn. Both of them former starting third baseman for University of Tennessee. Now they're pretty much moved all over the infield, and they're competent at all those positions. So they'll pick and choose. They'll probably throw them all in the Thunderdome at spring training and see who emerges.
Yeah, because I think for the most part, a lot of these guys are pretty interchangeable.
Yeah. All right, who you got in the outfield?
All right, in the outfield, at first I thought they might promote this particular player even further, but I think what they're going to do is put Justin Dean to start the season in Florida. I know we'd kind of talked about they might just promote him straight from Rome to Mississippi, but with the new minor league regime coming in, I think they might just kind of hold off and bump him up a step. And if he impresses the first month or so, have Justin Dean just kind of, if he starts raking for a month or so, just kind of promote him up from there. But I think they'll kind of inch him forward rather than give him a big leap.
I still think he's going to start in Mississippi, but, you know, it's not a sure thing. I'm like, I think 50% he'll start in Mississippi, and you know,
yeah.
So but certainly he could start in Florida as well, and like you said, make him hit his way to Mississippi. So that actually makes sense to me too. For left field, I have Andrew Moritz, who played a good bit in Florida last year and actually was fairly solid. He's kind of a line drive all fields hitter, pretty good defender, and I don't think he showed quite enough to move up to Mississippi, but if Dean starts in Florida, it is possible, I guess, that Moritz could get pushed up to Mississippi to make room. But I think Moritz actually is going to return to Florida and man left field.
Yeah, that's one of the options I had down as well. And I'm kind of thinking also that Jeffrey Ramos might be a returnee to Florida this season. There's kind of it's not a log jam, but there's already some spots in Mississippi that are accounted for. So I think Ramos, he did okay offensively for the Florida environment at least, and I think they might just kind of return him and give him another crack at the outfield again in that area.
Yeah. And then there's a whole bunch of guys that are could be backup outfielders and slash DH types. Our old friend Sean Michel is going to slot in here somewhere, either at Florida or Mississippi as a backup, I think. And the other guy I have is, of course, Garrison Schwartz, who has been a steady backup at multiple levels. I think he'll start back in Florida.
Yeah, I think that's the case as well. He did go to the Arizona Fall League, but he was there strictly as a taxi squad player, getting just only a little bit of playing time and only hit about 100. So, it's possible that he could come back as a backup. Now, I wrote down a couple of names from the Rome roster. I don't think they might put in quite enough time, but I put down Jeremy Fernandez and Jose Bermudez as possibilities to get the bump up to Florida.
Yeah, of those two, I actually think Bermudez may have the better shot as a backup. He's kind of a speed slasher guy. Fernandez is an interesting case. He's looked really good in the rookie leagues. Came up to Rome after a stint in extended spring training, and I don't know. Sometimes he looked really good. Sometimes he looked completely lost, and the end of year numbers weren't all that great. I really like the bat speed, but he pretty much swings at everything. That's not a really good combo when you start getting up to the high A level. So I don't know. I think it may depend on how well he looks in spring training. But I would actually think that he would either return to Rome or get more time and extended spring training.
When you're seeing these infield to outfield positions, I think you're starting to see the effects of the international sanctions that the Braves have been encountering the last few years, that they haven't been able to refill the pipeline and develop it as well as they would have liked to. And I think this is where you're starting to see some of those effects. I mean, when you get above Florida, it starts looking somewhat better. But at this level right now, it is not a pretty sight from those positions. But catching and pitching, I think we're going to see a little bit brighter spots there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely made an effect. And it just makes sense. I think the Braves have done a really nice job of drafting the last couple of years, especially since the last Coppola draft and then the last two Anthopoulos drafts, I think, have been really strong as far as depth. But when you shut off half of your pipeline, there's no way around it. It's going to get hairy.
All right. So where are we going next?
Catcher.
I think this is probably the easiest call of all, and this is probably going to be the biggest prospect on the roster, and that's going to be Shea Langeliers. Langeliers got a little bit of time in at Rome last season, and I think that kind of wanted to accelerate his progress a little bit, but not overwhelm him. And with William Contreras up at Mississippi, I think this is going to be a good slot for Langeliers to slot in.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good challenge for Langeliers. He's definitely there defensively. In fact, he's probably near major league level defensively, but the Florida State League is going to be a good challenge for him. I like the idea of him hitting perhaps between Cullen and Bryce Ball. I think that'll be a good spot for him. And, we'll see, but I have high hopes for Langeliers. For the backup, I have Ricardo Rodriguez. He did a nice job for Rome last year at splitting time first with Logan Brown and then Langeliers. He was the primary backup both times. Nothing really to stand up. A good catch and throw guy, still very young. And I think he'll continue playing that backup role for Langeliers up in Florida.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I had him then. I wrote down Logan Brown, but I think he'll get the bump up to Mississippi. He didn't get a ton of time in at Florida. I think he caught just under 50 games this past season, but I think that was enough to get him to get up to Mississippi and give him the backup spot to William Contreras there. But I think Ricardo Rodriguez is the way to go there.
Yeah, and I think this might be one of the things where if they decide they want a veteran backup at AAA, that's going to have a domino effect. That'll probably move Carlos Martinez back to Mississippi, which would move Logan Brown back to Florida, which may move Rodriguez to Rome. But on the other hand, they also like having multiple catchers, like three catchers at each level too. So even if that happens, I suspect Rodriguez, they'll find a spot for Rodriguez in Florida.
And that's a pretty nice problem to have in the state of catching these days, that the Braves have this kind of of depth where you could see that kind of domino effect occurring possibly.
All right. For starting pitching, let's go one at a time. Who you got leading off here?
I've got, and this is going to be a returning, it might be a little bit of a surprise, but I think I've got Freddie Tarnock coming back. At least initially, because my thinking is there's going to be such a log jam at AAA that some of those are going to get bumped down to Mississippi, and which cause more of those guys get bumped down. So although Tarnock could possibly have started at Mississippi, I think he'll start the season heading up the Florida rotation.
Yeah, I agree with that. I still think very highly of Tarnock, but the fact of the matter is he did not have a particularly strong season with Florida last year. He ended up really strong, so I think they'll return him and see if he can keep that going. I think that'll be an excellent start of the rotation, Freddie Tarnock. For the number two guy, another returnee to Florida, that's Odavi Javier. He came up for like the last month of the season for Florida and pitched pretty well. Mississippi, I think, will be full up. I don't see him moving up there yet, but Javier will be a strong number two in that rotation.
Yeah, I got Javier in there as well because and he only got a brief time at Florida anyway. He had 22 starts at Rome and 4 at Florida, so he could definitely use more seasoning at the high A level. For my third pick, I have Matt Hartman. He got a number of starts in at Florida last year. He had 11 starts, a handful of relief appearances. He was did pitch quite well, but I think that's another case. He just give him some more time to give him some experience at high A before moving him along to Florida. Up to Mississippi, if that's the case.
Yeah, he was a non-drafted free agent signee, and all he has done since he started in the organization is pitch well. So I say keep pitching him until he shows he can't do it. That actually, with Kingham, we've said Kingham, Deal, and Wilson would move up to Mississippi, and then Tarnock and Hartman remaining in Florida. That kind of takes care of last year's Florida rotation. So the last two spots, I think, will be guys moving up from Rome. First guy I have is Rome Pitcher of the Year, Dilmer Mejia, left-hander. He's kind of also one of those guys. He's just keeps getting outs. I don't really love his stuff a lot, but he's very competitive, and I think he'll do well filling out a rotation spot with Florida.
Yeah, I have him on my list as well. And my next one, another promotee from Rome, is going to be Jose Alagwe. I had 23 starts for Rome last season. He was solid, had a ERA right around 4, 1.27 whip, 132 innings pitch, which I believe led the Rome staff. So I think it was a solid enough performance that it can get him bumped up and get him a slot as kind of a workhorse in the Florida rotation.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the guy. And then as a possibility, I gotta throw it out there. I really hope they find a spot for Victor Vodnik to get some starts. I do think he could be a good starting pitcher. He didn't really get the opportunity very much with Rome last year because of unfortunately timed injury in the second half when it looked like he was about to step into the rotation. He's got three pitches, two of which are plus pitches. He will be a monster out of the bullpen, but I hope they don't close off the opportunity of him being a starter quite yet.
I'd consider that as well, and I think he will be in the Rome rotation. He's still very young, still getting used to the professional experience, and I think they'll give him the slot there as a starter to see what they can do with him. But I think he's probably just a little too young and not quite experienced enough for high A as of yet.
All right. That brings us to the bullpen. And most of the guys I have here are actually guys promoted up from Rome. The one guy I have that's kind of a carryover is right-hander Troy Bacon. He's a guy with some tremendous stuff, and he's shown flashes of really strong performance, but the consistency just has not been there yet for Troy. So I think he's going to return to Florida for a third year and hopefully puts it all together.
Yeah, I put together an 8-man bullpen, and Bacon was on the top of my list as far as guys going to that pen. My pick here is going to be, and we've discussed it, but this based off his performance in winter ball, Alan Rangel. He started the full season at Rome last year, but we've seen in winter ball, he's pitched in relief, and he's pitched quite effectively in relief. So I think he'll get the bump up to Florida as a bullpen arm to see how that goes for him.
Yeah, he's simply getting squeezed out of the rotation at this point. I don't see a path forward for him there unless there's injury or something like that. The next guy I have is my other returnee, and that is Walter Borkovich. Another non-drafted free agent signing who just has continued to pitch well. Really did well out of the rotation in the second half of 2018, but mostly pitched out of the bullpen again last year. He's comfortable doing both, which is, of course, a very handy thing to have in the minor leagues as people get promoted and hurt. And you always need guys that can swing in and out of the rotation. So Walter Borkovich back with Florida.
All right. Yeah, I had him on my list as well. My next one is going to be Jake Higginbotham. He pitched quite well for Rome last year, 4-4, 3.07 ERA, had four saves. He spent the whole year in the bullpen, and with his he's a lefty, so they can use another one of those behind Rangel. And I think he's going to be promoted up there to the Florida bullpen. I think he's going to do quite well.
Yeah, the reason I didn't have him here is because I actually had him getting the double promote to Mississippi. But, you know, maybe those are going to be a thing of the past, in which case I think he'll go to Florida and pitch extremely well because he was really lights out second half for Rome last year. All right, next guy I have is the right-hander, the high-round draft pick last year, Casey Kalich. Or possibly Kalich. I can never remember. I think it's Kalich, Casey Kalich. He's a guy that they're probably going to look at to move quickly. His stuff is probably near major league ready already. And I think he'll start in Florida, but possibly not stay there for very long.
I have him on my list as well. I mean, we've been hand in hand on this bullpen so far. I have eight names, and all five of the guys we talked about are on my list. But I think, yeah, he's going to be kind of follow the AJ Minter model, where he'll move up as a college relief arm fairly quickly.
It's crazy that Florida Fire Frogs might be the only team ever where it's easier to project the bullpen than it is the starters.
Yeah, and my sixth one, and another, I'm picking another left-hander here, Tanner Lawson. He pitched last year for Rome, and he was kind of one of the did an understated job compared to some of these other guys. He had a 2.14 ERA over 30 games, a couple of saves, and a whip of 111. So he did a solid enough job and put in enough time at Rome. I think that'll get him the bump to Florida.
Absolutely. He was definitely on my list. I think this is actually one of the easier picks here. So, Tanner Lawson, very competitive guy that can give you multiple innings out of the pen from the left side. They're worth their weight in gold in the minor league. So, the next guy I have is a guy who really pitched well for Rome, especially, again, late in the season, William Woods, a right-hander. He's another guy that can swing in the bullpen or to the rotation as needed. Always necessary to have those kind of guys in Florida where rainouts occur all the time, and you need guys that can pick up the second half of a doubleheader as necessary. So William Woods is number seven for me.
That was the first pick we had that I did not have on my list. But when you start getting towards the bottom end of the bullpen, I think a lot of these guys are going to be fairly interchangeable anyway. But my next pick is Jose Montilla. He had an ERA of just around 3 in 31 appearances, had four saves and 74 and a third innings, whip of 124, and I think it went quite well for him. He's a guy that held down the back of the bullpen along with several of the other players, and I think he'll get a promotion up to Florida from Rome.
Yeah, I agree with that. He was the last guy on my list. The other guy I have here that, and this will be number nine, so obviously one of these guys is going to make it, but, you know, there's always injuries and stuff. But another guy that will get a hard look is also Ryan Shetter. He has a very nice velocity, a couple decent pitches. Again, another guy that can switch to the rotation as necessary and give you innings. So it would not surprise me if he's in there as well.
Yeah, and my last guy that I had on my list, and this is a guy that, I mean, he's kind of my eighth guy I had on there, was Gabriel Noguera. He played a swingman role with Rome last season. He pitched in 24 games, 16 of those were starts, had a couple of saves, kind of mixed it up. But like I said, I had him down as kind of my last man of the pen who could kind of fill a swingman type role.
Yeah, and kind of like Vonick earlier, I didn't have him on my Florida Fire Frogs list because I think he returns to the rotation for Rome. But again, you're absolutely right. He could certainly come up and fill a bullpen role or a starter role at either level. All right, there you go. The Florida Fire Frogs, ladies and gentlemen, this will be absolutely wrong because of any level, this is the one that fluctuates the most. So we will see. It was interesting. We definitely disagreed probably a little bit more on this, but I think we both realized that these are bigger guesses than the previous two rosters we tried to figure out.
You have a number of players on this roster who could swing either direction. They could swing up towards Double A, or they could swing back down towards Rome. And then you have the uncertain stadium situation filling into it. And I'm just kind of wondering if they're even going to be hesitant to send any significant prospects there. I mean, besides Shea Langeliers from a position standpoint, there's really not a whole lot going on here prospect-wise. I mean, you all have some solid players there, possibly Cullen, maybe Benson, Bryce Ball, Justin Dean, but the quality goes downhill fairly quickly after that. But you're going to have a solid workman like starting rotation and some pretty solid arms in the bullpen. And if they can get a couple of these guys developed and stand out, they can get some help moving on up the line to fill the pipeline.
Yeah, I mean, looking at this team, I don't think they're going to, you know, obviously this team, the roster is going to change tremendously over the course of the year. But, you know, it's not a team that jumps out at you as from a contending standpoint. But I look at a lineup that starts off maybe with something like Graffinino, Cullen, Langeliers, Ball, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's going to put up some runs, even in the, you know, offensive dead zone that is the Florida State League. That's going to do some damage. And maybe Moritz leads off, I don't know. But I feel very strong about Freddie Tarnock having a good year this year. You know, the rest of the rotation, as you said, kind of workmen, they're going to come in, they're going to get their innings in, which will hopefully keep the bullpen rested, which is critical, the number of rainouts they have.
Yeah, the one thing that stands out to me, especially if Bryce Ball does make the roster, is to see what happens with his power in that Florida State League environment, because, I mean, it just absolutely kills offense. If he can put anywhere, I mean, you can't really judge it off the OPS number, because if he puts up even like a 750 OPS in that league, that's impressive. And I think that would get him a call up sort of fairly quickly after that.
Just as a guess from having watched him a little bit in Rome, I think at least initially he's going to have a little bit more trouble with the OBP part of that OPS number. But he is so strong. I mean, he can hit balls out of Yosemite Park. I don't think the parks are going to be much of a problem for Bryce Ball. So I don't anticipate a big power drop off. I think the average in the OBP, it will suffer a little bit just from having to go up and face more competitive pitching.
Yeah, but that probably won't be the be-all, end-all number for him, because you've seen guys get promoted over the last couple of seasons, like William Contreras and Austin Riley, who didn't have overall impressive offensive numbers, but they were somewhat stunted by the Florida State League. But like you said, with Bryce Ball's power, that will kind of help override some of that concern.
All right, well, we've somehow managed to squeeze about 40 minutes out of this, so I think we'll call it. And just as a programming note, make sure you check out outfieldflyrule.com. Starting on Friday, I'll be starting the Braves System Depth Series, something I always do. I've done it. This will be the fourth year I've done this, where I go position by position, kind of like what we do here with the rosters. But instead of looking at full rosters, we look at the depth at the position itself, starting with first base on January 17th, and that should come out every Friday and Tuesday until the start of spring training. By the time we get to third base, hopefully, you know, something will be done with that, and it'll bring more clarity all the way down the line for that position. But who knows?
Yep, and hopefully we'll have some activity start to happen from the major league side, and kind of work as a domino effect and start helping out the minor league side. And hopefully sometime in between, we'll find out when and where the Florida Fire Frogs are going to play baseball.
So until then, we'll go ahead and sign off. Everyone, hope you have a great week.
Have a good one.